powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
One last go around here for the Jake and Stacy show. We're going to announce our new co-host here coming up at 1:30 p.m. today. That co-host will be in studio for the announcement. So obviously we're excited about that kind of new adventure. But someone else starting a new adventure here, that being one Jake Heaps. It is his final show today as he gets ready to kind of immerse himself full time into the football coaching world. And Jake, we're going to have fun. We are going to rib you. We have we have a lot of Jake-isms. We have a lot of jokes.
Great.
We have a lot of
great.
We're going to have a lot of fun at your expense today. But Curtis and I know I'm speaking
what
for a lot of listeners, are also very, very sad that you're leaving and grateful that we at least get 4 hours here today to hang out one last time.
Well, I am certainly grateful. And it is a mix of emotions, as I said yesterday. I am not going to cry today.
Yeah, you will.
I will not.
No, I think you will.
at least I'll try not to. But I am thrilled to be able to go on to this next you know, adventure. But, you know, I'm just glad that we get one last show together and get one last show to do what we've always done, which is to have fun, talk some sports, hang out with, you know, two of my very best friends. And you know, this is a weird deal, I have to be honest with you. It doesn't feel real, this is going to be a fun new adventure for everybody, and I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss this dearly. So, look, we can get on that sentiment later on as we wrap things up. But you know, Stacey, this is what kind of ribbing are you guys planning on doing?
When you
prepare something, I'm always nervous because here's the thing. It's not like when you prepare something, you go small. You usually go big and you cut deep. So that's what I'm worried about.
Curtis, I
mean, it's your last day.
We wouldn't dare
undercut you or try to cut you off at the knees or anything like that. You know, we're going to be professional about it, obviously.
Okay. We're consummate professionals.
All right.
That's what I keep
I've constantly heard that about myself.
Okay, well, all I know is that Aaron Rodgers and Phil Mickelson they need therapy after every time the headline comes through that Stacey has every chance to take a shot at Aaron Rodgers and Phil Mickelson. So I don't want to be in that position, okay? I don't want to be seeking therapy after this on my last show, please.
You won't. However, you will be having a lot of fun today, as will everyone else listening. Now, I do wish that the Mariners gave you a better game to go out on here. Unfortunately,
yeah,
they were shut out for the eighth time this season. So, look, I wanted to be able to end with this fun win that we could talk about with the Mariners. We could play highlights. We could have a ton of fun with it. And instead, we're looking at a Mariners team that is struggling with everything we feared they would struggle with months ago when we looked at where they might be heading into the offseason. And do you know how immensely frustrating that is? Do you know how immensely frustrating it is to look at this team and say they need more offense, they need another arm, they need to do X, Y, and Z, and here they are on pace for, what, 77 wins or so? 75? 70-something win season. Who really cares?
Because it's
certainly
90.
Not 90. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. We heard from Jerry DePoto this morning. We're going to get to that sound in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So we'll tell you the latest from the Mariners GM. But before then, Jake, this game, not fun.
No, it was not fun. I mean, when you talk about watching this team go through the offensive struggles that they have, I mean, it just goes to continue to highlight the fact that the Mariners are going to be incredibly volatile as they're working through their lack of depth. Just straight up, the lack of depth that they have puts them in such a difficult bind where, okay, you could go to yesterday where you have Suarez and Ty France who hit two-run jacks, and you end up winning 5-0. If your best players are coming through, hitting home runs and having unbelievable performances, you got a chance. But if they don't, I mean, who's going to save the day? Who's going to be that guy that's going to step up and make those performances or have those clutch performances? Or last year, Stacey, maybe when a Ty France or a Mitch Haniger was cooling off, there was always an unsung hero for like a week or two, right? Remember Jake Fraley was like one of the hottest hitters in baseball for like a two, three week stretch, and then obviously fell off a cliff. But you had that. You had Luis Torrens get hot. You had Jared Kelnick get hot at the very end of the season. Dylan Moore obviously came up with some clutch performances, but there just always seemed to be somebody that was stepping up in the back end of the lineup at any random moment in time. Right now with this group, you do not feel that way. And I think that there's serious lack of depth, and it just points to the frustration of the conversation of the offseason, Stacey, where the Mariners, the narrative, the excitement, everything that was building from the 2021 season was, hey, we're going to go transact. Hey, we're going to make moves. We're going to build. We're going to put together a legit playoff team. And, you know, you look at the final aspect of the roster going into the season, and you knew that this was going to be a very thin roster predicated on the success would be predicated off of health.
Yeah.
And you never want to be in that position.
Question for the Mac and Jack's text line. Question for listeners and then a question for you two. I've got my answer. Is any of this Scott's fault? Is Scott Service responsible for any of this? Because I'm telling you right now, he's probably on the hot seat. I, however, don't think that there's much he could do with this lineup. Look at the lineup that they've been working with. I mean, again, no slight at any of these guys, but a lot of these guys are going to be utility players or backup players. You know what I mean? Like, you had at one point, what was it, Curtis, yesterday, you had Raleigh, Haggerty, Moore, Trammell, and
just guys who were not anywhere close to your opening day starting lineup.
Exactly. This isn't what you were planning to work with, and yet you're heading into that game. I believe they won that game. I have seen so many people say Scott shouldn't have asked Dylan Moore to bunt. Scott shouldn't have pinch hit Toro. Scott shouldn't have X, Y, and Z. And I'm sorry, but to me, a lot of the blame for what's happening with this team right now is above Scott Service's head.
I agree with you. What do you want the guy to do? Like, the fun part as a fan is to nitpick at the umpire, nitpick at the manager and his decisions, and act like you would be a better manager than Scott Service, right? Or any other manager that's out there.
Yeah.
That's kind of the fun of being a fan.
It's like watching, right? Jeopardy when you, or any, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, like, you see the answer and you go, duh.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, what an idiot.
How do you freeze up in the moment, right? I believe it's very much like that, and it's easy to point to that. Last year, Scott Service was the manager of the year. I don't care what the East Coast bias people have to say, Curtis, making Kevin Cash the manager of the year.
Oh, we're talking some classic East Coast bias?
Oh, yeah, classic.
Well, because this year's AL manager, you're probably not going to be on the West Coast.
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, there's already been one fired on the West Coast.
Yeah, and I would say that Scott Service here, I'm not saying that he is absolved of any criticism whatsoever. That's not true. That's not true. However, I don't think this falls on Scott Service's shoulders in terms of what has happened this year. Not even close.
No.
I do think that this very much squarely falls with Jerry DePoto and ownership in terms of what they were allowed to do financially, what the plan was put in place, and then also the execution of Jerry DePoto to go and get things done and make things happen. And that, to me, is why you're in the position you're in and the decisions you made, not only Stacey, with the frontline big bat or lack thereof, but the depth pieces you chose to carry on this roster. And I think that is also, you know, part of the reason why this team has unfortunately not been where they need to be this year.
A couple texts in from listeners with a variety of takes. A variety of takes here. But you may agree, you may disagree.
Reasons.
For a variety of reasons. It's not funny, Curtis! Oh, God, no! We'll have to get to that later. from 1206, you can question individual decisions here and there, but Scott has done as much as he can with what he's been given. 206, I think I'm siding with you on this one. There are some critiques that I can make certainly from afar, but it does kind of remind me of this, like, I've mentioned it before, but there was this like project that this one of my teachers did, and the point was to talk about I think at the time it was like economic inequality or the point of the project was to give people different resources, but then the same assignment. So I think that's how I kind of look at the Scott Service thing, is he's working with like dried up markers and being told to create art. Whereas you look at other managers that have like a variety of, they've got like oil paints, pastels, you know what I mean? Like they've been given $200 million payrolls and they're like, do with it what you will. And meanwhile, Scott's got a bunch of bench players in Thai France.
Yeah.
And being told like, hey, try to win games, okay? Like try to get this done. So yes, there are individual critiques that I can make, but 206, I agree with you. I think that overall it's hard for me to be too critical when.
And what did Jerry DePoto say? What did Jerry DePoto say at the end of last year about what they needed to do?
About trying to get to 90 wins again?
Yeah, about trying to get to 90 wins again, and could they do it in the same way as they did it
and
in 2021?
And he said no. So I'm paraphrasing, but for anyone who's wondering, last year, at the end of last year, in an interview, Jerry DePoto basically said, kind of parsing what he said, we were lucky to get to 90 wins with the roster we had, and I don't know that we can replicate luck. So we need to really get a lot of work here to make this roster better.
So with that being said, Stacey, is Scott Service not managing a similar club to what he did a year ago? I didn't say identical.
Yeah.
Is it similar?
It is similar. I mean, Curtis would tell you, unfortunately, payroll. Yeah, similar. Very similar.
Yeah, it's not much bigger than what it was a year ago.
In theory, they added a better bat with Winker, better bat with Suarez.
Well, I mean that.
And a great arm with Robbie Ray. Two of the three have underperformed. So.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have Mitch Haniger healthy? Right,
you don't have Kyle Lewis healthy, though. You shouldn't have been counting on Kyle Lewis in the first place. So that off the table.
I just think that this is a very similar roster, and by admission, that it would be incredibly difficult to win at a very high level with a similar roster trying to do it the same way as you did it the year before. And that was the goal of the organization, was to get past that and to really, truly improve so that they could become a real playoff contender. And the truth is, Stacey, is I don't want to sit here and be doom and gloom on the Mariners, but the reality is that until they get healthy with their lineup, until you get Mitch Haniger back or whenever you're going to potentially see Kyle Lewis, until reinforcements come in to help this lineup, this is going to be a dogfight. It is going to be so incredibly hard to scratch and claw just to get yourself to playing 500 level ball. And that's the truth. Even with playing the Angels and the A's and Baltimore, you know, coming up starting today, right? That series kicks off. Even with that being the case and the schedule opening up favorably to you, it will be an incredible challenge because you don't have the depth, you don't have the stability, you don't have the consistency that you need to win at a high clip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what greatly concerns me, because I am optimistic that by the All-Star break that this team will be healthy, that they will be healthier, but where will they be at
right,
when it's all said and
done?
Exactly. That's what I'm concerned about.
Let's get back to this conversation at 11, because I'm seeing so many responses from people on the Mac and Jack's text line. So if you're listening, we're going to get back to this conversation. Don't worry. I know that a lot of sports fans this morning in Seattle are waking up frustrated about where their team is and obviously wanting it to get better and saying, what now? What's the next step that you take? So we're going to hear from Jerry DePoto at 10:30. We've got some cuts from his interview with Mike Salk, and then we're going to get back to this conversation at 11. Right now, let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, the biggest headline at this station today. It's our very own Jake Heaps. Final day, what is the real headline?
Can anyone be surprised that Jake Heaps is once again entering the transfer portal?
I hate you. I'm not in the transfer portal. I already went through the other side. I skipped the transfer portal. Okay? I just did it. Gosh, how dare you?
Sorry, Jake. It was too easy. It was
how
right in
dare
front of
you?
How was I not supposed to take that? It was low-hanging fruit. That fruit was touching the ground.
That's... That's one of the classic jokes that hits
classic,
every time.
Classic joke. It's Aaron Rodgers and his family, Jay Keepson transferring, and Phil Mickelson and gambling.
How dare you?
Classic trio.
How dare you? Well played. Well played. I don't even know what to say to that. Dang it.
Jake, look. we are very excited to be doing this final show with you here, and all jokes aside, I have to tell you, we do have more jokes coming your way.
Great,
so
good,
buckle
good,
up. Good. But the show has been about fun. It's about poking fun at each other. Jake was playing highlights of me messing up earlier when we were show
prepping. Oh, we will play those
oh,
over
thanks.
The show.
I can't wait for that.
Because, so, you know, we got to talk about reminiscing on the good old days and look, I have loved this show, and one of the hallmarks of this show that I wanted from day one is for everyone to feel comfortable and for no one to take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
We feel strongly about our opinions. We all do. It's sports radio. That's what it's supposed to be about. We can disagree on something and still be cool because we love our team or we love the, you know, our... Right. Our sports and can be passionate
There's
about it.
There's a unifying thing about being a sports fan,
yes.
Especially a sports fan here in Seattle.
But there are, I would just speak very openly and honest. As I've been in the media realm, I can't stand people who really truly believe that they are smarter than everyone else. I can't stand it. And, you know, going back and forth, trying to talk,
yeah.
You know, all this lingo and everything else. Like, look, we get it. Like, cool. It's awesome. And my job and what I've tried to do every single day has been to communicate what I am seeing in a way that hopefully you guys can understand.
Yeah.
And that you guys can grasp and take something and hopefully learn something new every day. And I don't know if I've done that every day, but that's the goal. And we will all want to be able to talk about sports and be able to learn and to be able to grow. It's not about flexing our prowess,
yeah.
As you like to do with your academics.
Okay,
of course.
Let me just say something. I lean into the bit as a joke, and there are some people
sure.
who no, there are some people who
sure,
don't get that. And they think
Stacey.
I'm being serious. I lean Stacey, into the bit as a joke. Is there
did
a bit,
you bring up the fact that you were a double major
first of all, that's
at
none of your business.
Wedding?
That's none of your business. At my wedding, I haven't been married.
Okay.
I never did that.
At
no,
your friend's not, wedding.
Not,
at
that,
the wedding you attended
I don't
this
need
last
to,
weekend.
I'm not on trial here, Jake.
Yes, you are.
But what I mean
to say... You
bring
up the transfer joke, I'm putting you on the spot.
What I mean to say is that while there are many important conversations and passionate conversations and fiery conversations that can happen about sports, at the end of the day, sports are supposed to be about fun, about having fun together, about feeling passionate about your team. You might disagree with someone about it, but I think that... I have appreciated, Jake, you looking at it as something that everyone should be allowed to enjoy and understand and not making anyone feel like they're excluded from the conversation.
Well, but that's the point for me. And also, I think that one of the other aspects of this is, I think, Stacey, that you are one of the best examples of this. Someone who did not grow up a major sports fanatic and yet still learned the game. And started with the game of football, and you learned the game so much so and worked your tail off to get to the point where now you are one of the people that when I watch a football game or I see the Seahawks or anything newsy breaks out, you are one of the people I want to hear from because I truly care about what you have to say on the matter because you always bring something incredible to the table.
Well, thanks, Jay.
So... Okay, but hold on.
Oh, okay. More jokes coming.
It'll only last for a second.
All right.
But that, to me, is why it should be that way, is because it should be welcoming for everyone, wherever you are, to get your foot in the door, and then hopefully you grow and you learn and you keep progressing, and, you know, who knows? You could maybe be the next Stacey Ross, right? I mean, but... I think that that's where everybody can add value to the conversation, and that's what I've loved about this show.
Headline rewrites.
Jake, hate to steal your thunder on the last day, but...
Typical Sue Bird here.
Sue Bird announced today that she'll be retiring following the end of the WNBA season.
Sue.
Jake, your shine lasted 20 minutes.
Congrats.
What's the real headline?
Real headline. I'm going to go sentimental here. One of the greatest athletes of all time, in or outside of Seattle, is retiring at the end of the season. That's what the headline should say. Forget like a Seattle icon, though Sue Bird is that. but also one of the greatest athletes, regardless of sport, regardless of city, is playing her final season.
It is. Also, real headline, you couldn't wait a day. You couldn't wait a day? Can I just have this one day, Sue Bird, please? Okay, you're not even leaving until after the season. I'm legit leaving today. Come on. Gosh, you got to be kidding me. I saw this. I was like, seriously? No. In all seriousness, Sue Bird is an absolute legend. And honestly, there are athletes that will go underappreciated. Sue Bird, unfortunately, is one of them. But she is the most accomplished athlete in Seattle sports history. It's not even close. What Sue Bird has been able to do and the longevity in which she's been able to do it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind, and I think it's absolutely incredible. And it's going to be sad when, you know, the last day is here for Sue Bird, you know, donning that uniform here in Seattle. But gosh, she will have an incredible legacy here, and you know that her presence is going to remain very, very strong.
Jake, there's a couple of texts on the text line from the 206. They want to know, are you actually joining the Live Tour?
How much are they paying you, Jake?
Look, okay. Did they pay me a lot of money to do a radio show?
In Dubai.
Look, I didn't know how to break this to you, so it was like a slow roll, like, hey, I'm going to train Russell full-time, and this is what I'm going to do, and then, like, I'm going to transition into this radio show in Dubai.
I love it. I love that.
Riyadh, yeah. Saudi Arabia.
If you were getting paid $50 million to do a show in Dubai, I think you'd think
twice.
Well,
I was going to say, it's like, who'd we hear from yesterday? Curtis, remind me, was talking about Prince renting his...
Carlos Boozer.
And then he was like, they said this, someone wants to rent your house. I said, no. He said, he's going to pay you $95,000. And I said, hello.
All right.
All right. That's exactly Jake. I won't join that tour. Absolutely not. And then, well, how about we pay you $95,000? Yes. What time do I show up?
Headline rewrites.
Final headline. We had to get Jake mad on his last day.
Of course.
Dodgers starter Tyler Anderson carried a no-hitter into the ninth inning on Wednesday. He's now 8-0 with a 2.82 ERA, all for the very low, low price of $8 million. What's the real headline?
Great news, Mariners fans. You got a new beer garden. So there's that.
All right. Cool.
All right. Cool.
Neat.
Cool. Good news. Good news.
Oh, why do they do this? Why do they do this? Just for the life of me. Tyler Anderson for $8 million and you said no? Or $10
million? He's been phenomenal.
Why? Why not? The guy was fantastic for you. You traded for him and he did nothing but good things for you in the second half of the season. He puts himself in a vulnerable position and pitches early in the rotation, right, to pitch the final day. It didn't go your way against the Angels, but he was willing to do it. And then you say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Curtis, please make it make sense. Make it make sense.
I can't. I mean, Tyler Anderson has a greater shot of winning the Cy Young Award than any pitcher on the Mariners roster.
Okay, this is...
I would say even more so than Logan Gilbert. He's 8-0.
Gosh.
Granted, he's only the second pitcher on the Dodgers roster that's 8-0.
All right. Ugh. All right, we'll get back to all this at 11. It's Jake and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Let's hear from Jerry DePoto next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Now, Jake, I just want to make sure I'm understanding this. Given that it's your last day, we're kind of treating it like it's your birthday. You know, on your birthday, you get to do what you want to do. So coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to do Bold Take Thursday. Bold Take Friday is obviously something we do during the Seahawks season. Now, just so I know, for Bold Take Thursday, special Jake Going Away edition, is this a bold take on literally anything?
Literally anything. Well, really what I want to focus on, though, is it can be about anything.
Okay.
And we will touch on a variety of topics.
But we're allowed to predict several months in advance.
Yes,
can say,
but what,
bold take, Julio is AL Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
Got it.
But the focus that I want to have, because I won't be able to do our traditional bold takes on Bold Take Friday during the season, is NFL predictions.
Okay.
NFL predictions the emphasis of Bold Take Friday. But if you got a great bold take about the Mariners or you know anything else, have
all right,
at
send
it.
Those
have
in. So we're going to get to that at 10:45, 206-421-3776. A special bold take, non-football season, non-Friday version, but it's still going to be Football Friday. Bold Take Thursday, special Jake going away edition. You can send your bold takes in now, 206-421-3776. First, though, the latest from Jerry Dipoto, the Mariners GM, was on the Mike Salk Show this morning to talk about what else, how frustrating the win one, lose one cycle has been for the Mariners.
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating to watch when you're in the win one, lose one mode. And when you lose two, it feels like the end of the world. But we just, again, we need to figure out how to win those big moments in a game because we do, we have created traffic. We have pitched well as a starting rotation over the course of these last couple of weeks. And we've given ourselves opportunities. We've just not capitalized on them. And that's the frustrating part.
Here's what's most frustrating about this Mariners team and maybe most fascinating about them if you're a little more emotionally detached, that being that this is a team that in theory should be better than they are. This is a team that in theory has some offensive statistics that would indicate more wins than they have. Mm-hmm. And a team that can get themselves into good situations once in a while, but they strand runners. They don't take advantage of big moments the way they did last year. And you're just struggling to figure out, is it something intangible or is it something that could have been prevented? Is it bad luck? Is it injury? Or is it poor preparation and decision making? You know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. so hard to find the line between those two things with this team in particular.
Well, injuries play a factor. You can't ignore that. And I hate pointing to it because it's like, oh, it's an excuse, right? But it's legit. I mean, Mitch Haniger drove in 37 home runs, and what did he have, over 100 RBIs, near 100 RBIs? I mean, missing that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. Now, Suarez has come in and replaced Kyle Seager, I think, very, very well. We've talked about that. But when you're missing somebody like Mitch Haniger and what those guys did, Ty France, Mitch Haniger, Kyle Seager, those three guys drove in a lot of runs. Drove in a lot of runs. And unfortunately, what you have not been able to replace is you have not been able to replace the RBIs up to this point. And yeah, there's been, you know, different contributions. J.P. Crawford's got a nice batting average. You know, Julio's got a really nice batting average and starting to take that turn. And you see that coming together. But the runs batted in, that is what you're missing. Mm-hmm. You are missing that element in clutch situations.
Yes.
Right? And so that is where the Mariners are struggling to where they were, you know, different a year ago where they were incredibly clutch and they did come up in those big moments. And Kyle Seager, was really good with runners in scoring position last year and driving in runs. So, that to me has been the biggest difference up to this point. And you've got to, as we've talked about this before, slugging. You're deficient in that area in particular. And that is what has been hurting your offense the most.
One big issue the Mariners are having, according to Jerry Dipoto.
We do lead the league in stranding runners, which means we have a lot of runners on base. If you're going to lead the league in that, you have to have a lot of runners on base. We've just not found a way to get them in. We're one of the best teams in baseball. I think we lead baseball in batting with runners on first or first and second base. And we're not doing a great job of helping them cross home plate consistently. And, you know, and those for a variety of reasons, it could be that the wheel just stops randomly on the guy who's struggling in that moment. It could be that we're just not getting that play or executing that play at the right time.
Now, I'm simplifying this and I recognize that. And Curtis, maybe you can correct me on this one. You just genuinely are better able to kind of step back and analyze this stuff. But to me, the thing that most explains, not fully explains, but the thing that most explains an inability to bring runners in is the big gaps in your lineup in production.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That your lineup is just not good enough.
Outside of your top five in the order,
right,
there is not enough. And look, the last time the Mariners scored runs on this homestand was when they won 5-0 against Minnesota in game 2 of the series. Who were the guys that were driving the runs in? It was Ty France and Eugenio Suarez, mm-hmm. the two of the few guys in your lineup that you can count on.
Right.
And when they're not hitting like they weren't yesterday.
And they drove in 4 or 5.
And they weren't against Boston.
Yep.
And they weren't in the first game against this series.
Yep.
The offense is going to clearly lack. And the Mariners have been shut out, what, two of their last four games? And in another one of those games, they only managed, what, two runs? So in their last three losses, they've scored two runs total. Yuck. It's just gross.
It's
but it's
brutal.
Baseball, which means you can't look at Suarez and France and say, you need to perform every single day. How much better can France get? You know what I mean?
I know. He's hitting 319.
The problem is that you don't have three of him on your roster.
He's hitting 319. He's got to be hitting 350. I mean, what are we talking about
here? Well, that's the thing is that if the Mariners are going to win consistently with the lineup as is, Ty France is going to have to hit 350. It feels like he's slumping right now, but he's not if you look at the grand scheme of his season.
Yeah.
Because he's hitting 319. Like, you would take that from anybody, but because he is not hitting at that 350 clip, that 360 clip that he was a few weeks ago, it feels like the Mariners' offense is not good right now, which it's not.
It's not. And I recognize, again, the reason I say I'm not sure if it's a complete part of the pie is that I recognize that there are times that those guys, Dylan Moore, Taylor Trammell, what have you, get on base and are part of those runners that are stranded. So I recognize that they aren't always the problem. But I think that just having that gap, I mean, looking at the lineup 2 days ago and seeing that batters, what, 5 through 9 or whatever, just being like, I don't know which of these guys is going to produce. And sometimes one of those guys will get a home run and have a randomly good day. Dylan Moore not too long ago was, what, 4-4, 3-4 one day, and it was like his best game ever.
Yeah.
But you can't count on that. And it's also not fair to expect that from those guys regularly because that's not really the kind of player that they are right now.
No. Can I make a stupid lineup change and suggestion?
1,000%, but make
stupid
it quick.
Stupid lineup changes
we
and suggestions.
Always welcome on this
it
show.
It was not stupid when we were talking about Jesse Winker. That was necessary, okay? But look, I am having a hard time, and I know Ty France, you want to give him more ABs and you want to do everything you can to make that happen. That's why you put him in the two hole and he's been there, you know, and done that very well. But can we please, when JP Crawford gets healthy again, can we please go JP, Julio, Ty France? Can we please
Let's
make that happen?
It. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you just go ahead and text Scott?
I will. Okay, that'll be my parting day. Hey Scott, can you please do this for me? JP, Julio, Ty. Please make that happen. Let's go get two guys that can really run, that can get on base, and allow Ty France to have more opportunities to drive in runs. Please.
All right. Let's get back to this a bit later in the show because I have more Jerry DePoto cuts, and I already said that I wanted to get back to that conversation about the Mariners. So don't worry, this is going to continue. It's Jake and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. It's a special Thursday non-football season edition of Bold Take Friday. It's Bold Take Thursday, special Jake going away edition. Get your bold takes in right now. 206-421-3776. That's next.
It's time for Bold Take
Thursday.
Yeah.
It is Bold Take Thursday. Now, normally it's Bold Take Friday, trademark, during the football season, heading into every Seahawks game. But given that it's Jake's last show, it's the Bold Take Thursday special, Jake Going Away edition. So get your bold takes in, 206-421-3776. Jake, why don't you get us started and kind of lead us into the venue in which we'll be making these bold takes so that me and the listeners know where to go here.
Oh, nowhere to go. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's see. How about this for a bold take? Okay. Bold take is that you see the Seattle Seahawks become the number one rushing team in the NFL this season. Rashad Penny stays healthy. Ken Walker becomes a superstar sensation. And you have two running backs that have over 1,000 yards and have over 7 touchdowns apiece. How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
Woo! All right. I mean, I feel like it could be bolder.
Wow.
What?
5 1,000 rushing yard players.
It could be bolder. I said Rashad Penny's going to stay healthy the entire season.
DJ Dallas,
bolder.
Travis Homer, you're running for 1,000 yards, too.
Everybody's running for 1,000 yards.
Nick Ballore, you're going for 1,000. They're not going to pass once this year.
When was the last time you got a 1,000-yard season from a fullback?
Nick Ballor lied to the Lions coaching staff and said that he ran for over 2,000 yards in high school.
They believed him.
I mean, that says a lot about the Lions coaching staff.
Exactly. Really that's does. What I was going to say.
That's much more damning. All right. Bold Take Thursday, special Jake going away edition. Get your bold takes in 206-421-3776. Okay, so bold take football edition. Okay, so I'm going to stay away from offensive production here. I'm going to go defense then. Okay. My bold take for Bold Take Thursday, Jake going away edition. The Seahawks don't just finish as the number 5 defense in yards allowed. They don't just finish as the number 3 defense. No. The Seattle Seahawks are going to finish as the second best defense in all of football in yards surrendered.
Whoa.
Now that's reckless.
Who's number one?
New Orleans.
Wow, all right.
I don't know. It just didn't feel right to put him number one after being 31st against the pass for two consecutive years.
But second? Oh, okay. A lot more realistic.
I needed it to be bold. I needed it to be recklessly and irresponsibly bold. Do I think that'll happen? No. I would love for them to be 15 because that would be a dramatic improvement from 31st overall against the pass. But if I'm going bold... If I'm going bold, if we have to be bold for Jake's final day, why not?
I love it. I
like
love it.
That I stopped at. It's like when you eat.
That had me do like the whoa face.
Yeah,
like,
you know when you eat something you probably shouldn't be eating, like cake or dessert or a whole bunch of food, you leave like one bite on your plate and then it's like you didn't eat all of it. Like you weren't super bad.
Yes.
That's me making them the number 2 defense instead of 1.
Like, I said that they were so going to be the number 1 rushing team in the NFL, and you give me 2?
I know.
2?
I know.
That would be a huge turnaround.
Let's
that'd be crazy.
Get to some listener suggestions from the 602 Bold Take Thursday. Baker Mayfield is Seattle's starting quarterback, and he's an MVP candidate.
Wow. He turns into an MVP candidate?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Bold take for Bold Take Thursday. Wow, this is bold. Drew Lock throws for over 6,000 yards.
Okay.
You deserve it for that.
Single season passing record.
Oh my gosh.
How about this one from the 206? Yeah. Bold take. Jake will emerge as a legitimate rival to Stacy and Curtis's quarterback, Cam.
Ooh, yeah, right. That's quite bold.
I mean,
oh, man.
Sometimes it feels like we're playing a different sport, really.
Yeah, you know? I know.
Well, the sounds of what you guys coach, it does seem like you guys are playing a different sport.
My bold take is this. Until Stacy relinquishes her hatred of the Boston area sports teams, the New England Patriots will win a Super Bowl before the Seattle Seahawks do.
Oh.
You know what? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's got no chance.
We have our limits. We have our limits.
Okay, we were doing something really fun, and then you brought this bold take to the table. Come on. No.
Bold take. How about a week one prediction? Jake, no offense here, but a bold take from the 253.
No, great.
The Seahawks run for...
no offense, but
the
offense
The Seahawks
taken.
Run for 300 yards against Denver, and Russ throws 3 picks. Ayy. The 253 had the A at the end.
Can I tell you how excited I am for week one to be over?
I'm so excited for week one to
like,
get here.
I am so... When that got announced, I was like, of course it was week one. I'm very excited to get through week one. Also, for all those who keep sending in texts about me changing allegiances in terms of sports teams, like, guys, hold off on that, okay? Because Seattle sports means everything to me, my family, my kids are going to grow up, Seattle sports fans, diehards, like, that part isn't going to change, okay? So I just want to assure any of you who are worried about that definitely will not happen. Okay.
I like that Jake is now going to be forced to watch Rockies games, and there won't be Trevor Story on that roster.
No,
he still will not get to watch Trevor Story.
There's Chris Bryant, but oh, wait, he's injured.
Yeah.
No, I will not be watching Rockies games. I will find a way to watch Mariners games. So, you know, there's a thing called MLB.com. I'll figure it out.
All right, so there's a couple other bold takes here. I almost want to like be able to get back to them a little later in the show. We've got some really fun ones. Also, some people with some Mariners bold takes. Now, someone said they're going to win 10 in a row. Listen, I love that.
Okay.
I love that optimism.
Sure.
And here's the thing. If that happens, I will find that number and invite that person on the show to brag about it.
Sit in studio with us.
In studio to be able to sit here and be like, I called it. But we'll see. We'll see if that starts tonight. So, okay. So that will do it for Bold Take Thursday today. If there are any other good ones, I'll save them.
This was fun.
Now, here's the thing. I said that we were going to get to Mariners. Do we want to go Mariners or DK here? Because I do want to get back to Mariners, but we've got, obviously, the biggest conversation with the Seattle Seahawks is going to be whether or not DK signs that mega contract extension.
Jake, it's your last show. You get a pick.
You get choose a pick here. Adventure. We're going to get to either. We're going to get to both today. Excuse me.
Okay, what was the first one again?
You get to choose DK. You get to choose Mariners and some DePoto sound. We're going to get to both today. Where do you want to go next?
DK. I got something to say about this.
All right, we're going DK next. Don't worry, we're getting to that DePoto sound a little later in the show. DK Metcalf, is he going to be the summer superstar signing we should see here in Seattle? That's next.